continue along chapter 1. And Moshe Rabbeinu begins to recount the terrible sin of our refusal to go into the land of Israel. Now, as the Sefarno says, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to repeat the Torah. He's going to talk about Seres HaDibris, and he's going to convey the core essence of the Torah messages to the next generation. But first he makes the case to explain to them why exactly he's not going to be with them in the land of Israel. He says, it's all your fault. You guys essentially caused this. And so he goes over our history. And one of the major pivotal moments in our history was when we refused to go to the land of Israel. And so that's being recapped now. In the third reading of Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu describes in detail of how everybody mobbed him and they made demands. And they wanted.
He didn't speak to the rock that he didn't give.
Yeah, didn't speak to the rock comes much, much later. But didn't speak to the rock is a cumulative of all these things that went wrong, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was held to task. So anyway, this is what the Sefarno says. So this is the background that we're having over here, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Okay, you came like you mobbed me from all sides," and I said, "Fine, we're going to do this." And the Meraglim went up, and he talks about how the Meraglim reconnoitered the land of Israel, and they brought with them the fruit of Israel. Kapitel Aleph, so chapter 1, Pasuk Chafei, verse 25, Yikhu biyodom, they took in their hands, mipri ha'aretz, from the fruit of the land, vayeridu eleinu, and they brought it down to us, vayashivu esanu davar, and they returned words to us. What did they tell us? Vayemru, and they said, Toiva ha'aretz asher Hashem elekeinu nesin lanu. This land that God is going to give us, it's a fantastic land. It's wonderful. Now, this sounds a little funny. That's not the story. That's not the story. They didn't say Toiva ha'aretz. They didn't say the land is good. So Rashi says, first of all, why does it say Vayoridu eleinu? They came down to us. He says, Magad, this teaches us she'eretz Yisrael gavoya mikol ha'aretz, that the land of Israel is at the top of the apogee, top of the globe, for a Jewish perspective. So therefore, anywhere you're going, you're always going down from Eretz Yisrael. Vayemru teva ha'aretz, they said the land is good. Says Rashi, mihem sha'amru teva asa. Who said it was good? They didn't say it was good, they said it was bad. They said we shouldn't do this. Rashi says, yeah. Yehoshua v'kolev, Yehoshua and Kolev said it was good. However, the rest of the Meraglim did not agree that it was good. The Malbim emphasizes that the other Meraglim also said it was good, but. They said it was good, but. They said, yeah, it's good, but we're never going to be able to capture the land. We're moving into verse 26 now. And so, what was the result of the Meraglim's report? V'lo yavisem la'alois. You were not ready to do it. You didn't want to go up. V'tamru espi Hashem elekechem. You rebelled against the mouth. Euphemism, against the mouth of God. What does it mean, vatamru? So interestingly, the Alshech says that vatamru comes from the word of Lashon Hamora, like imhomer yomer, you exchanged. It comes from the terminology exchange, that you exchanged God for your own ideas, God's ideas for your ideas. And as if you said about God that he says one thing, and he means something else. He says he's taking us to Israel, but actually we're going for a great big slaughter. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the word vatamru is lashon hasrasa. This is sedition. Words of sedition, words of rebellion. In other words, not only were you not prepared to do what Hashem wanted, not only were you not prepared to do the right thing, but furthermore, you spoke seditiously and rebelliously. Rashi says, hisrastem kineged ma'amori. You rebelled against the words of Hashem. You behaved in a way of which Hashem's words, you knew what Hashem said, and you decided to do otherwise. Like we have, for example, Shimon HaMoirim, which Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, listen here, you rebellious people. So the idea of Hamora means rebellion, sedition, and that's the way the Jewish people behaved. And there's a very interesting verse here. Verse 27. Vateirognu be'oholeichem. You slandered in your tents. Vatoimru, and you said, Besinas Hashem isanu, hetzionu mi eretz Mitzrayim. God hates us, and in hate, he took us out of Egypt. to give us into the hands of the Amorite, lahashmidenu, so that we will be massacred. He's just setting us up for genocide. That's what they said. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I know what you were saying behind closed doors. I know what you were saying. You said, you slandered God, and you said he hates us.
It seems that Moshe Rabbeinu's words are even much more tougher than when it happened.
Well, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the events now and rebuking us. Earlier, he didn't rebuke us. We learned that in the beginning of Chumash Devarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, you don't rebuke until the very end. And there's four reasons Rashi gives as to why you hold your tongue and you don't rebuke until it's at the end. So we didn't rebuke in the beginning, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't speak harshly earlier. Earlier you just read the facts. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the rebuke. And the rebuke is biting. The Jews are getting a serious tongue lashing from Moshe Rabbeinu.
Generation also wants them to learn from the mistakes.
That is correct. He wants them to learn from the mistakes. That's one of the reasons that, you see, if you rebuke somebody at the time and then you keep rebuking him, it's called kicking a dead horse. How many times do you want to rebuke him? So one time is good enough. And therefore, when? At the very end. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't worried about being popular. He was worried about getting the message across.
Jewish ladies know that.
So, here's the thing. The Pasuk, when you read this verse, it says, you slandered God in your tents. Vatoimru, you were sinners Hashem Yisrael, you said, or you grumbled, you said, God hates us. He's taking us out of Egypt. He took us out of Egypt in hate. Why did he take us out of Egypt in hate? Or what's the proof of that? Because he's bringing us to Biyad HaMoid, he's bringing us to the hands of the Amorite, and the purpose is going to be Lahashmidenu. Obviously, why would he, if he takes us to slaughter us, clearly he doesn't like us. Now, when you read this pasuk, what's the proof that God doesn't like them? Or how do we know God doesn't like us, they said? How does it know God hates us? Because what is he doing? He's taking us to where? He's taking us to get slaughtered. He's taking us to the Amorites. He's taking us to get slaughtered, right? Okay, take a look in Rashi. So Rashi says, Vateirognu. Vateirognu means Lashon Hara, slander. Straight up, slander on God. V'chein, and similarly we have another pasuk in Mishlei, divrei nargon, the words of a gossip monger or slanderer, which means odom hamitzi diba, a person who defames or slanders others. So we have another expression in the scripture in which we have the same words, resh gimel anun, and does resh gimel anun ragon or divrei nargon, and here's vateirognu. These are words of slander. These are words of defamation. Bisinas Hashem Yisrael, Rashi says. What was the slander we said against God? We said he hates us. Says Rashi, v'hu ha'ya oyev eschem, but he loved you. He loved the Jewish people. Avol, but atem seinem meisei, you had hate in your heart for God. So therefore you said he hated you. Mishal Hedyet, here's a pedestrian way of putting it. Oimer, ma debelibach, arechemach. That what is in your heart against your, the one you loved, the one you're close with, ma debelibe aloch. You say that's what's in their heart against me. In other words, you don't like somebody, or somebody is close to you, and you think that they're out to get you. But really it's you who's thinking badly about them. But because you think badly about them, what do you say? You say, that's what they're thinking about me. In other words, you superimpose your own feelings on the other. People do this. Yeah. People do this. You're angry at somebody. So you say, I can't stand that person. But really, you interpret it as, I can't stand, not I can't stand, they can't stand me. That's not true. But that's the way people behave. B'sinas Hashem Eisanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because God hated us and hate, he took us out of Egypt. This taking out, this exodus, was a hateful thing. How could it be a hateful thing? That's crazy. Like you have 10 plagues and Kriyas Yamsuf, they hate us. How could you say that? That makes no sense whatsoever. So the Rashi says, well, I'll help you out of here. Here's a mashal. Mashal is a metaphor, a parable, a mellow bus of a dumb, a king of flesh and blood. He has two sons. V'yeshloi, Stay sodis. He has two estates. So what does he do? Achas shel shakya. One is an estate that's or a field that's constantly irrigated. V'achas shel bal. And one does not have an irrigation system in place, but rather it needs the rainfall. Lemi shehu oyev, to the one he loves, nisin shalshakya, he gives the irrigated one. He gives the one that has the natural water at all times, and therefore it's able to grow always. Lemi shehu soina, and the one he hates, nisin loy shalbal, to him he gives the one that is always relying on rainfall. And this is what the Jewish people said. Eretz Mitzrayim, shalshakya hi. Eretz Mitzrayim, beautiful hot weather, never have rain. Who needs rain? You have the Nile Delta. And therefore, Shenilus Eila, the Nile River and its tributaries flow over. Umashka Isa, and it constantly keeps the land of Egypt irrigated and verdant. Ve'ilu, but however, Ve'eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan, we're going to Shalbal. It has no river, it has like a Jordan River. Looks like a joke, the Jordan River. It's not a river, it's not a Nile. We don't have a real river. Israel is not a land that's naturally irrigated. And therefore, V'haytzeisanu mimitzrayim, he took us out of Egypt. And why did he take us out of Egypt? Lo seis lanu, and said it's Canaan. He said, look at this. We're in a land where there's constant growth, and everything is green, and everything is great, because the Nile Delta is always providing sustenance. God takes us out of there, and brings us where? Into the land of Israel. In the land of Israel, there's no rivers. In the land of Israel, there's no natural system. And that's why you always got to look up to the heavens. You got to get rain. And as we learned in the biblical narrative of Genesis, not once, not time, not twice, but three times, there was a famine in Canaan. And where was the sustenance? In the land of Egypt. Why? Because they had the Nile Delta. So they said, look at this. God takes us out of the good land, and he sends us to the bad land. That's what Rashi says. Some of the other Mefarshim read into this. Like, for example, the Targum Yonason says, they were crying to the children. They said to the younger generation, see what's going on here? You hear? God's taking us. We're going to get slaughtered. I'm going to be hung. It's over. Life is finished for us. This is what they said. Now, the Al-Sheikh says, what did they talk about behind in their own tents? They were discussing what the Meraglim said. Some said, maybe the Meraglim said is right. Maybe the Rag said is wrong. They discussed it. Discussed it. Okay, that doesn't sound so bad. Discussing what the Meraglim said. I mean, okay, they believed the Meraglim. Blame it on the Meraglim. Rashi doesn't do that. Rashi says, no. You guys, you messed up. You said God hates you. Why did they think God hates them? So the Sephardim says, you know why? Because they worshiped idols in Egypt. So he says, you know what? God's striking us back now. You worship idols? I'll show you who's boss. The biggest question about this pasuk is that Rashi imports this parable of a king with two sons and two fields, but the pasuk, the verse itself says that what's the proof that he hates us? Forget Rashi. What does the verse say? That he wants to have us killed. What do you need this muscle for? Some maysa, a story with Israel and Egypt. This land is irrigated, this land is not irrigated. He took us out of the good land, he brought us into the bad land. The pasuk says a reason. The verse says he's taking us to get slaughtered, forget good land or bad land. What is Rashi saying over here? I'm not going to argue with you. It does seem to make very little sense. But the Rebbe does make sense out of it for us. So let's go to our Biurim book. And we're going to begin on page Lamed. Okay, Simen Yud Ches. Actually, Simen Yud Tes. The Rebbe begins here with a basic question. Yesh litmoya. Everything we just learned causes us to ponder in astonishment. Hare mefurish bekosuf. It says openly in the verse. Shatan nosam shobnei Yisrael klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The complaint that the Jewish people, that the Israelites had against God, was chamura harbe yeser. It was much worse than saying, he has two sons, he favors the other son. They said, "Besinas Hashem Eisonu, God hates us. He took us out in hate. And so he took us out of Egypt to give us into the hands of the Amori, lahashmidenu." Tell me, what's more hateful? To give one son the lesser field or to take us to get slaughtered? Like, what's worse? I think it's a lot worse to get slaughtered than to get the field you have to work harder for. And that's what it says in the verse. Why does Rashi come along and say that this vatirogno ba'aleim, that the slandering God is about Israel in comparison to the land of Egypt, which field is better, which field is worse? The verse openly states that they said God hates them and he's going to kill them. The Yesh Leimar. So the Rebbe says that the Hahechrich lePirusha Shel Rashi, what forces Rashi's hand here and necessitates his introducing of this parable is Neveya Mikushi Baksuvim. It rises out of a challenge, of a difficulty that is put forth by these verses. Miloshen HaKosuv Kan, from the language of the Pasuk, we have a problem here. And the problem here, it says, Vatirognu Be'oholeichem. What does Be'oholeichem mean? Ohel's in a tent. In other words, that he says you slandered God, where?
In your tent.
In your home.
Behind closed doors. Secret. In secret. You said this quietly. Never heard about this before. Right? You didn't hear about this in the narrative. Because the narrative didn't tell what was going on behind closed doors. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he knew what was going on behind closed doors. And now, when he rebukes the people, he says, I know what you were saying in secret. I know what was going on behind closed doors in your tents. So, mashma, the intimation here is, Shehoisa zu, his marmerus shketa. This was a quiet murmuring. This was a fervative, a secret fomenting of sedition against Hashem.
That's a dudiba.
But the thing is, we're talking here about something that was shenilchashomi pela oizen, that was whispered. It was whispered. From, so to speak, mouth to ear. It was whispered. Besoichiche ha'oiholim, inside the tents. V'loi begoloi bechutzos ha'machane, not what was said out in the alleyways of the camp where everybody was. This was not the things that were said in public. These are the things that were said in private. V'ilu, the Parsha Shlach, as you correctly said, so what's going on? We never heard about this story. Because the Parsha Shlach, Mesuper, over there it's related in the narrative, Shaisazu, his mardus Geluya, this was an open rebellion. It's open rebellion. God said, go to Israel. We said, no, we don't want to go to Israel. Why don't we go to Israel? We're going to get slaughtered. You don't want to get slaughtered. That was open. They lodged their complaints. They came against Moshe openly. They said, you want to take us to this land and get us killed? You got to be kidding. We don't want to do that. There was nothing quiet about that. There was no secret fomenting of sedition. Therefore, Rashi says, Sheshnei haksuvim, that these two verses, oiskim b'shtei tulunais shoinais, there are two separate events that are going on here, or at least two separate details in the story that are going on here. Zugezunt. Achas shenemre begoloi, there's the open, overt story, the story we've discussed already, the story everybody knows, the words that were spoken in public, the achas, and another, there was the furtive, quiet whispering. There was the issues that were not being discussed in a public way. And so, begolui, openly, hitzdarfu kol bnei Yisrael l'tan nosam shalom meraglim. What happened openly? What happened in the street? The meraglim came and said, they're out to get us, they're going to kill us. And the people said, you heard that? They're going to kill us, they're going to kill us. And the word began rippling through the camp, and everybody came out and started screaming, we're getting killed, stop it, stop, we don't want to go, we're getting killed. And this was out in the streets. Everybody knew. That's a story, we heard about that already. And kol nisoyin lichbesh eseres Kanan, nidun lichisholim. The whole attempt to try to conquer Canaan was just going to be a disaster, a huge blunder, a mistake, a fatal mistake. Umikan, from here, Shekol Matoros HaYitzim Mitzrayim, in that case, if going to Canaan to try to capture the land is going to be a fatal blunder, then why did God take us out of Egypt? We know he took us out of Egypt in order to give us the Torah and bring us to Eretz Yisrael. The whole reason of leaving Egypt was not to just to go into the desert. It wasn't just to leave Egypt. It was to leave Egypt to go into Israel. But going into Israel, they said, is going to mean death, massacre, genocide. So they said, then this is terrible. God took us in order to massacre us. He brought us to Israel. He's bringing us to Canaan, where we are going to enter into a death trap. So that was out in the street. That was all the rabble rousing. That was the public stuff. Ava ben el ben atzmam, but quietly, as they say, behind closed doors, the chadre chadorim, in their inner private sanctums. Hoydu b'nei Yisrael v'yicholtesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there's something called a mob mentality. It's whipped up in a frenzy. People are yelling and screaming, and everybody gets kind of caught up in this mob. And whatever the mob is saying, everybody goes along with. And nobody wants to stop what the mob is saying, because then you're going to be, the mob will lynch you. You just go along like sheep. Everybody follows. But if you sit down with somebody privately, because you have to, when you deal with a mob, you can't deal with a mob. You have to you conquer and divide. So, come here, I want to talk to you. Let's sit and talk about this. You're really part of this mob? You really believe all these things that you're saying? So privately, they had to acknowledge that, of course, God could do this. I mean, these are people who just saw 10 plagues. They saw the mightiest army of the world brought to its knees. They saw Egypt collapse militarily, economically, politically, socially. The whole country collapsed. This was your slave taskmasters, and they're gone. You really don't believe God can deal with Canaan? What do you think, they're more powerful than Egypt? The Yodu, they knew Shebekeichi Lichbish Esaris. Of course, God could do this. Of course, Lahachne Shalaz Bnei Yisrael. Of course, when you sat down with a Jew quietly behind closed doors, he had to acknowledge that he's being silly and this is just a mob mentality. So, what did they say then? So, why didn't they do tshuva? Why didn't they quietly at least acknowledge we could do this? If Hashem says we could do it, of course we can, the way Kalev and Yehoshua said. And the answer was, Tainasa Moshe Cheres. They said, yeah, of course God could do it. Yes, we believe it. God could fulfill his promise. He could bring us into Israel. Aval. But, what's the but? Uvdezu atzma. The very fact that he would bring us to Israel, this itself shows that he despises us. Shem Leikain, if not so, why did he take us out of Egypt? He should have taken the Egyptians out of Egypt and sent them to Canaan. What are you sending us to Canaan for? He should have left us in Egypt. Egypt's a great land. Fertile crescent. There's always a lot of things growing. And therefore, he says, the fact that God took us out of Egypt to bring us there is the biggest proof that ultimately God doesn't love us. And you know what? When a Yid convinces himself God doesn't love him, the rest, as they say, is history. All of a sudden, everything goes downhill from there. The domino effect is devastating. And so privately, that was the issue over here. Go on to the next siman over here. The Rebbe says, Yesh Levaya, we should explain the Sibalakach, the reason. Sharashi any mistopic but see unhevdo ben Eretz Canaan. He doesn't just say, look at the difference in the land of Canaan and the land of Egypt. Land of Canaan needs rainfall. Land of Egypt always has natural water. He says, it's not good enough. He has to bring this story. Once upon a time, there was a king, and the king had two sons, and one son got this field, one son got that field. What do you have to say that for? Bashkafa Rishayna, because the thing is like this. At first glance, Tainasan Shobnei Yisrael, Einim Venice Klal, the Jewish people's grumbling, their words of slander, is totally not understood. Okay, fine. Let's say that the land of Egypt, it's nicer. Let's say it's easier, it's better to have irrigation, and you shouldn't have to wait for rainfall. Okay. And if that's the case, even that's the case, how'd you get from there to he hates us? You know, my daddy, he gave us two prizes. He gave me the lesser prize. I mean, he did give you a prize. He did give you a present. Yeah, but he gave me the lesser present. Therefore, he hates you? Giving a present a sign of hate? If you hate them, Chalila, heaven forfend, why would he give them a land? Just leave them in Egypt. He hates us, he took us out in hate. Took us out in hate. Stay over there. Sink in your squalor. Therefore, maybe Rashi Akach Moshel. That's why Rashi is giving a parable, because it doesn't make sense. Parables are used to illustrate a point that otherwise just doesn't seem to make sense to us. He gives, okay, Melech Basar V'dam. Let's talk about a king, a mortal king of flesh and blood. Ha'ilish Ne'banim, he has two children. V'yesh L'shte Sadis, he has these two fields. So, Me'achash Shnei Habanim, Hibanim Shal Melech, since they're both princes, they're both the king's children. Ba'akarchai, Olav Lasses, Misadeis of L'shneim. Who's he going to leave his fields to? Somebody else? Who else would the king give his residuals to? Obviously, to the princes. It was going to look right. The king has children and ignores them? Of course he's going to do that. To the love, the son he loves, he gives him the good field. He gives it the better field, the field shalshakya, the field that's naturally irrigated. The ben hasano, to the hated son, the son he doesn't like really, he gives the sada hapchusa, that's who he gives the lesser estate to. He gives the field, which is shabal. Bnei Yisrael, Yadu Shem Banav Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. They know they're Hashem's children. It makes no sense to say God just hates us. He hates you, they ignore you. They knew they're Hashem's children. Shekhadosh Baruch Hu Hiftiach Laviseim. They knew very well that God had promised their ancestors, Lasis Lahem Eretz Mishlehem. He knew that they were going to get a land. God promised. God doesn't renege his promises. He promised them. Achim Tanu, but they said, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mishyaches Lehem Kemelech Lebnei Hasanu. He treats us like the despised son. He treats us like the scullery maid. We're not the good son. The good son he takes really good care of. Even as he's giving them a land, he gives them the lesser land. In other words, this whole the reason Rashi has to use his commentary here in the manner that he does is because this the whole thing doesn't make sense. There was the open and overt mob mentality, then there was the quiet sedition. There was quiet sedition. How could there have been quiet sedition? When Yid Satan himself he knows the truth. Like, what you're saying doesn't add up. If he hated you, wouldn't take you out. So the Jewish people, they convince themselves, because, you know, every time people do the wrong thing, they have this rationale why it's right. They convince themselves how it's right. So it says, really, of course God, of course we're like a child to God. Of course he said, of course he's giving us the land. But you know what? We're not the beloved child. He loves the other one more. This is what
does the Pasuk say specifically to kill us at the hands of the Amor?
Because kill us at the hands of the Amori is what was said openly already in Parsha Shlach. That says it. That says it.
That's what he said. That's what you said
He doesn't say what we say in the tent. He says, Vatarognu ba'alechem. You slandered God in your tents. Vatoimru, you said, Besimus Hashem Isanu. He hated us. That's why in hate he took us out of Egypt. And in Haiti took us out of Egypt and lost his son to give us into the hands of the Amori. That's a secondary thing.
That part is that said quietly, privately by the pasuk, or
the,
openly?
That was said openly. It was said openly in Parsha Shlach that they were going to get slaughtered. The Meraglim said that. So there's a missing link here. There's something that was said in private, and in private was the rationale: God hates me. If God hates you, why did he create you before? Like people say this all the time. God hates me. Look what God's doing to me. What God's doing to you. Why did he give you all the other good things? You shouldn't exist altogether.
He's giving you life right now.
Right. So people get life right now and they say, God hates me. Well, if he hates you, why do you exist? But this is how our minds, unfortunately, tend to work. We try to find rationale that God hates us, but really, it's the other way around. Ma'ade belibich al-rachmich. What's in your heart against God, you're putting in God's mouth and say, oh, look, God hates us. And this is the tragic mistake our ancestors made. What, of course, is the point of this whole class?
We shouldn't make the same mistakes.
We should know that Hashem loves us. And even sometimes when it looks like we don't understand the situation, we have to realize that there's something far greater and far deeper going on over here. Incidentally, what is up with that business of Egypt getting naturally irrigated and Israel getting from the rainfall?
It saved our lives.
Because Egypt was built for idolatry. It was naturally predisposed to look down. Always look down. In Israel, where did you always look? It's a land that lends itself to faith in Hashem, lands that lends itself to trust in Hashem, and to becoming a maimon, a greater believer. So there was a reason for everything. But you tend not to look at the reasons. You tend just to express and vent your frustrations, and then we make, chas v'shalom, the same mistakes our ancestors made, and this is what life's all about. Learning from the mistakes of the past so we can go into a better future. Thank you.